is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
One disappointed little boy at my house right now, he wanted to see The Dark Knight. He'd seen advertisements for The Dark Knight, and he likes Batman, and he wanted to go see the Batman movie, and I said, you know, it looks kind of dark to me from the trailer that I've seen, but you know what? Maybe it's just some cartoonish violence in it. So a friend of mine and I went, without any of those kids with us, watched the movie, and there is no way. I came back and said, after seeing this movie, there is no way that you will ever see this movie until you are grown. Because, well, we'll talk about why in a few minutes. But the movie is making a ton of cash. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And we're talking today about summer movies 2008. What's the worldview behind some of the films that are out there right now? And where can you see those connecting points with the culture? When you're watching films, it's more than simply watching these movies and saying, well, that's not really fitting with Christianity. What I want to know is, what kind of questions are you seeing being raised? I mean, these are lost people, for the most part, making these movies, and they're saying something. I mean, what they're saying is, we think that this is what most people in America, or what a lot of people in America, will pay money to come and see, the kind of story that they'll resonate with, and so they make that kind of movie. What are they telling you? How are they reading their fellow lost people in American culture? And what can we do to speak to some of those longings and some of those fears? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know about maybe some of the films that you've seen, or maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you've just talked to a neighbor or coworker, and you say, you know, I think that this is the perspective that this movie is coming from, for good or for ill. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let's talk about summer movies 2008. Is there a message there? And is it a coherent message? We'll talk about it today on the Albert Mohler Program. But first, in the news, Charles Grassley, Senator from Iowa, will not be a delegate to the Republican National Convention this year, and the Washington Times reports that it's because of evangelical Christians in Iowa who have denied Senator Grassley his request for a place on the state's delegation to the RNC in St. Paul, Minnesota. He can attend, but he will not be a voting delegate. Senator Joe Lieberman, on the other hand, is going to make an appearance tonight in Washington, D.C., with John Hagee. John Hagee, you'll remember, is highly, highly controversial. John McCain has distanced himself from Hagee because of some comments that Hagee had made in the past about Roman Catholics and also about Hitler being used providentially in the plan of God in order to put Jewish people in Israel. John McCain actually took back, said, I don't want your endorsement, John Hagee. But Joe Lieberman, he's going to be there. He's scheduled to speak at that annual conference with a group called Christians United for Israel. He plans to be there speaking tonight. In other news, Los Angeles apparently has high obesity rates. Not ordinarily what you think of. When you think of L.A., you think of crunchy, healthy, organic Los Angeles. But according to the Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles is plagued with obesity rates that rival any city in America. Any city, including New Orleans. Any city in America. It rivals all of these cities. And so there's a council member spearheading legislation that would ban new fast food restaurants like McDonald's and KFC from opening in a certain part of the city, including her district. And the Wall Street Journal quotes some folks there in Los Angeles saying, this is nanny state. Yeah, I think so. If people don't want to eat at McDonald's or KFC, don't go. You don't need a law to tell them not to do it. And in sad news today, Estelle Getty, 84, who best known for her role in The Golden Girls, died at the age of 84. I send out my condolences to my friend Chuck Lawless, who is dean of the Billy Graham School of Evangelism, Missions, and Church Growth here at Southern Seminary, and a huge Golden Girls fan, because he's dealing with the loss of Estelle Getty. I can't believe she's just 84 years old. I thought she was in her 80s back in the 80s when the program actually ran. But apparently, according to the Washington Post article, she was more than just a sitcom star. She apparently was quite an accomplished actress, and she has now passed away at the age of 84. And the rumors are going around, have been for the past couple of days, that maybe John McCain will announce his running mate this week. That all goes back to Bob Novak, who has pretty good sources. I mean, you'll remember Bob Novak's role in the Scooter Libby-Valerie Plame case of a couple of years ago. He was right at the heart of that, longtime Washington journalist. He's reporting, staking his reputation, and saying John McCain's going to announce his running mate this week so that he can upstage Barack Obama while he is on his world tour right now and have his vice presidential pick. I doubt it. But if he does, we'll be here to talk about it here on the Albert Mueller program, and we will see which direction Senator McCain plans to go with that pick of a running mate. You'll remember yesterday in the conversation between James Dobson and Dr. Mueller on Focus on the Family that Dr. Dobson said that pick of a running mate, that vice presidential choice, was going to be key for him in deciding how he was going to vote, whether or not he was going to endorse Senator McCain in the fall, whether or not the running mate was somebody who was committed to a pro-life agenda and to things that social conservatives care about. So if it's this week, we'll be talking about it right here on the Albert Mueller program later on in the week. You know, the economy's really bad right now. A lot of people are cutting back on a lot of expenses. But one thing they don't seem to be cutting back on is films, movies. As a matter of fact, American history will show that when the economy is at its worst, that's when people seem to be even more enthused about going to movies as a means of escape. And this summer is rolling out one potential blockbuster after another. These big, expensive, very, very escapist movies. Movies that are, many of them are drawn right out of comic books. Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Dark Knight, the Batman movie that's out right now that's breaking records and has people lined up in iPhone-type lines outside of the movie theaters, along with some other things, cartoons like Kung Fu Panda and this Pixar program, WALL-E, and other movies. I'm interested to know from you, what do you think that we as Christians, what can we see in some of the themes that are out there right now in film that ought to inform some of the issues that we address and raise when we're talking evangelistically? Is there anything that we can see in some of these films that would say, you know, these are the kinds of questions that our culture is asking right now? And I'm also curious, what do you think are some things that we ought to beware, some subtle messages that may come through popular culture, through film, that maybe we're not looking for? I mean, I think most committed Christians are going to say, we're going to be wary. We're not going to go to a movie that has nudity, that has obscenity, that has profanity throughout it. But a lot of times there are other very subtle messages that come through film that have a lot of impact precisely because we don't see them, precisely because we don't pay attention to them. They just simply seem to be part of the furniture in the room, and we're not even aware of what's being said to us, so we don't look at those things discerningly. What kind of messages do you think are out there that Christian teenagers and young adults and middle-aged adults and senior adults are hearing coming through film right now? What should we be looking for good and for ill? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When you open up the newspaper and look at what's playing in the Cineplex in your neighborhood, what kind of stuff are you seeing? Does it encourage you? Discourage you? Does it give you a kind of a window into the soul of your neighbors? 877-893-8255. We're going to talk about summer films and what they tell us about how we ought to present the gospel, how we ought to address fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of God. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Where do we begin?
A year ago, these cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened?
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I'm going to lay my cards on the table and tell you I hated that movie. And I thought I would like it. And I loved WALL-E. And I thought I would hate it. I mean, I was almost praying, please don't let my boys ask to go see WALL-E. And one of them did, and then two of them did, and then three of them did. And I said, all right, I'm just going to go kill these 2 hours with this inane movie because I hate robots. And I don't really like Pixar animation, but we went and it was really, really life affirming. It was a good story and the robots lose in the end. It was humanity affirming and I was thrilled with it. I actually was happy with it. And so were the boys. And I think there was a message in there of a culture that really is oppressed in one sense by its own appetite. If you see the movie, you will see a group of people who, in this distant future scene, have eaten so much they can't even walk. They're lying on these elevating couches, and they're living in a world that's been taken over by machines. I think that tells us something about the way a lot of people are viewing their own lives. What do you think? When you look at the kinds of movies that are playing at the Cineplex around you, what does that tell you about the kind of culture that we're trying to bring the gospel to? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, on the phone, we have Sam Thielman, who is film critic with World Magazine and also writes for Variety Magazine. And he spends a lot of time looking at film, looking at movies, and diagnosing what the worldview, what the message is behind these movies, as well as what's the artistic value and content of these films. Sam Thielman, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Russell. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to be able to talk with you.
Likewise.
When you look at the films that are out there right now, and there's so many of them that seem to be big movies this summer, seems to me maybe even more than usual. But what are the common themes that you're seeing?
Oh, common themes. Well, I mean, we've just seen a huge glut of superhero movies this mm-hmm. summer. We've seen a lot of movies about people who are sort of coming to save us, whether they're, you know, even the Hellboy character is sort of there to, you know, save the world, even though he looks like a, you know, devil, he's a good guy. And then, you know, I guess you're seeing a lot of sort of unlikely heroes. You're seeing Iron Man, a character who's sort of a rich playboy who is then struck with the realization that he's been leading an empty life and needs to go off and, you know, sort of fight the people who are making the world a worse place, you know, sometimes with his help. And you have Batman, somebody who dresses up as Dracula to go hit criminals and is actually trying to make the world a better place by doing that. So those, I think, are some of the major themes. I think WALL-E was actually one of the exceptions to sort of the rule we've been seeing this summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the films that are out there, if you had to say, I think this, in terms of artistic value as a film, is probably the best thing that's out right now. What would you say?
In terms of artistic value,
yeah.
I I am actually with you on WALL-E. I think that, you know, Pixar has to spend so long making these movies that they just really managed to get the timing right on all of the gags. They get the kinks worked out of the screenplay long before they ever, you know, set out to do voiceover work or, you know, even start animating the movie. So I think just the lead time on that has made it, I think, the best quality movie in the theaters right now. And it's gorgeous, and it harks back to a bunch of different, you know, sort of science fiction films for people mm-hmm. who are fans like me, like, you know, Alien. It has the star of that movie voicing a computer, which is sort of her antagonist in the Alien films. And
yeah.
Then, you know, you have sort of visual name checks for movies like Brazil, which is another very influential sci-fi film. So that's fun for me. And then, you know, for the kids, it's kind of almost a silent film for a long time, sort of a Buster Keaton-y slapstick thing. It's very cute. So that's certainly my favorite one out right now.
And what about the worst?
The worst?
You get to watch you have to watch a lot of bad movies.
It's such a bottomless pit, right? it's hard to say what the worst film I've seen recently was. Gosh, I hated 88 Minutes. I thought it was just a really empty and disgusting star vehicle that was just all about showing the corpses of the women who were murdered in it,
yeah.
which were usually wearing lingerie.
Now, what did you think about The Dark Knight? Now, let me tell you, before you say that, I like Batman,
mm-hmm.
and I expected to like this movie, but I found it nihilistic. I found it exalting violence and power just for the sake of violence and power, and left the movie theater deeply depressed by the whole project.
You don't walk out of that movie happier. I will say that I did enjoy that. I mean, in as much as you can enjoy a film that is so sort of oppressive and constantly sort of jerking you from one set piece to the next, I think the biggest problem with that movie, Russell, is that you get into it and there's this great moment about an hour and 20 minutes into the film.
Exactly.
Where, I beg your pardon?
Exactly.
Yeah, you get about an hour and 20 minutes into the film, you know, you think that the bad guy is in jail, the good guys are about to win, and then there's this reversal, and it's sort of surprising and fun. You're like, oh, you know, there's going to be one last big battle, and the movie will be over, and it goes on for another 70 minutes, and it's another 70 minutes full of really sort of oppressive and frightening and very disturbing violence. You know, you spend a lot of time, you know, worrying the characters are dying or going to, you know, end up doing things that they should never do. And sort of the main character in the film is not Batman, I don't think, but is the Harvey Dent character.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole movie sort of hinges on whether or not he's going to disappoint the city of Gotham. And I don't want to spoil it, but I think anybody who's familiar with the comic books will know that ultimately he does.
Yeah.
You know, one of the movie's great successes is that it makes you root for that character, even though you know, if you saw any of the other Batman movies, what happens to him.
Yeah.
And so the sort of betrayal when you find out that he is going to sort of give up, that he'll become this sort of horrible cartoonish villain, is very sad. And it is a tragic film, but I think that it sort of wallows in that a little bit.
Sam, what would you say to evangelical Christians who are saying, I'm trying to read my culture in my neighborhood? What would you say, if you pay attention to what's going on in film right now, this is what you can see in your culture?
I think you can see a need for Christ. I think you can see a need for a Christ. I mean, the last, you know, as nihilistic and as dark as that Batman film is, the last 5 minutes of it are devoted to Jim Gordon, the police commissioner character, talking about how much the city, which is so full of sin and so full of crime, needs a person that it can impute all of its sin onto and, you know, have all of its troubles sort of dealt with and by, and then, you know, become better for having divested itself of that sin. And I think that is sort of the center of the Batman character, and I think it's a wonderful message that Christians can take to heart and also turn around and use to talk to non-Christians about the movie.
All right. Thank you, Sam Thielman, film critic for World Magazine. Appreciate your being on the show today and giving us that excellent insight into what's going on in the Cineplex in your neighborhood. What do you think? How do you read what is being shown on theater screens in your town? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Hate to disappoint all you Batman enthusiasts out there, but I hated this movie, The Dark Knight. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking today about summer movies, summer films. What are the kinds of messages that you're seeing in the movies that are being advertised all around you right now? What's your culture saying to you? Now, you think about the way in which the Apostle Paul walked into Athens, and what does Paul do? He looks around and he evaluates what's going on around him. He's provoked, Luke tells us, when he sees the idolatry around him, but he turns that idolatry around on the audience and says, even you don't believe what you say you believe because I've listened to your poets. What are you hearing from the poets in our culture right now, from the filmmakers, from Hollywood? What kind of messages, what kind of mixed messages are you hearing from Hollywood? Let me know, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know how you're reading the movie posters outside the Cineplex in your neighborhood. But first, we have in the studio Professor Timothy Paul Jones, who is Assistant Professor of Leadership and Church Ministry here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and you may well be very familiar with Professor Jones' work. He's written many books and articles, including Finding God in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, a spiritual exploration of the Star Wars saga, in which he looks and says these are some of the messages and some of the themes that are coming out in the Star Wars movies, and asks, where's that coming from, and how do we address it as Christians? Timothy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Great to be here.
Now, you and I were talking in the studio a few minutes ago about this movie, The Dark Knight, Batman movie that you've seen. What do you think about it?
I think that many of the reviews of it speak of it being morally complex. To me, it was more morally confused than morally complex, because it really is a signpost of a culture that has lost its moral moorings, so to speak. Where you have the Joker figure who simply wallows in evil for evil's own sake. And at the end, yes, there's an imputation, unto Batman of the sin of Harvey Dent. And yet at the same time, it is an imputation based strictly on image. It's strictly on image. It is a lie. And I think that what we as Christians in some sense have to offer the culture is there's a recognition there that there needs to be someone who takes the sin, so to speak. And yet what we offer the world is not simply an image, which really is what they're going for, but rather a truth, something that actually happened.
Yeah, you know, when you see that, I was surprised that Sam mentioned that issue of imputation. The more I think about it, it's an imputation that almost is a caricature of a Christian view of imputation, because you're exactly right. It's a lie. It's a legal fiction. Mm-hmm. It's not really Batman who is in solidarity with the people. He's protecting someone from getting caught. That's not what we see going on in the gospel at all. And when you walk out of that theater, I mean, when you see the people who come out of that movie and say, you know, that speaks directly to me, and I've heard a lot of people who say that, what are they saying to us about how they kind of view the world?
I think they may be one of two things. On one hand, it may be that they are seeing their own need at that point that for a redeemer figure. But at the same time, it may be, I think if we're really honest, we look at that Joker figure who is evil for evil's own sake. And if we are truly and authentically honest about it, that is every one of our hearts. We create these fictions all around us as to why we do evil, why we sin. Mm-hmm. And those are false wisdom. And they are just us creating a fiction for why we do what we do. But we have to be honest that we do evil because, as Scripture says, we love evil. Our hearts are darkened and we love evil. And I would hope that we can use that to call people in our culture to an understanding of the truth behind what's in their hearts.
How much do you think Heath Ledger's death has to do with the eeriness of the movie? You're watching a character who now is dead.
Perhaps it adds to it, but at the same time, he plays that, so overplays it, that it would be eerie with or without his death. He really throws himself into it in a very frightening way, really.
Yeah, I think so. I think, though, that there's something added there. When you're looking at this man's face, and you know this is a dead man, that certain fear of death that Hebrews 2 talks about, that fiery expectation of judgment, I think that that has to be at the back of one's mind and conscience as you're watching this figure that's so evil. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What are you seeing out there when you see these movies being advertised in your neighborhood? What's the culture telling you? This is what I'm longing for. This is what I'm scared of. And how should we speak to that as Christians? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You remember that? Well, I used to come on every afternoon, and the scariest character, I think, in that whole thing when I was a kid was King Tut. Guy named King Tut, because he looked just like my neighbor down the street, and I used to kind of wonder if it wasn't the same guy. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about summer films, and what can you see from our culture when you look around at the kind of movies that are being made and the kind of movies that are being watched? What does that tell us about the kind of world that we're trying to bring the gospel to? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And with me in the studio is Timothy Paul Jones, who is Assistant Professor of Leadership and Church Ministry here at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he's the author of Finding God in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, which is about Star Wars and redemptive themes in Star Wars. But the Bible calls us to be attentive, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means we need to be paying attention to what people are saying, what people are asking. It doesn't mean we consume everything that they put out, but it means we look around and say, okay, why are these people driving past me toward the Cineplex? What are they watching, and what does that mean? What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Drew on the line. Drew, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Mohler.
Glad to.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. What do you think about with these movies that are coming out right now?
Earlier you mentioned Hellboy, Iron Man, and The Dark Knight, obviously, which is the dominant in the conversation. I think through all three of those, there's a theme of man is inherently good. Hellboy, although a demon, had human influence in the first movie, if anybody saw that. And through that human influence, he had an ability to be good and do good.
Uh-huh.
And then in Dark Knight, in the end of it all, people made the right choice, they did the right thing, and Joker couldn't pervert people to do the evil because they weren't whacked out or crazy like he was,
mm-hmm.
and thus inherently good. Iron Man, even though he was very much a playboy, all that was disregarded in light of his good deeds, of his heroism. And I think throughout a lot of action movies, just escapism, it just gives people comfort knowing that they can outweigh sin through just living rightly. And it's an escapism from economy, but also that peace of mind from character of who they are.
All right. Timothy Paul Jones, Drew raises an interesting point, saying that there's kind of a pervasive element of the goodness of man in several of these films. And I think that's true. I think you think of Wall-E, for instance. You think of some of the others he mentioned. I don't think I agree with him when it comes to Dark Knight. I think almost you have an excusing of evil in the case of the Joker figure. He's right because he's mentally ill. He's obviously crazy. But you also have, I think, a deeply nihilistic and evil view of human beings in general. This is just the way human beings act.
And I would say even when there is good at that level, there is a redefining of good. Mm-hmm. It shows us the relativistic kind of inclinations of our culture right now, that even when there is some hint of good, it is defined by what works for society or what works for me or even what works for the other person with whom I care about. That's how good is defined, yeah, rather than defining good by any objective standard. So even when there is good in some of these movies, what we find is that goodness is very much relativized, defined by how it works in human life rather than by any objective standard of goodness.
Now, we'll say in WALL-E, there's an affirmation of the goodness of humanity in a biblical way, in a Genesis 1, Genesis 2 kind of way. Not the basic moral goodness of humanity, but saying it's a good thing that human beings are here. They're not simply those things that can be replaced by machines, that there's something really unique about being a human being. In a way, I just stepped back and said, wow, this is really, I think, far more profound than perhaps the makers of this film actually intended it to be. We have John on the line calling from Flint, Michigan. John, what do you think?
Hey, Dr. Moore, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to.
Instead of maybe looking at a specific movie, I step back and look at kind of a broader mosaic. And this weekend was in a local video store looking at the new releases. And
uh-huh.
I would say on a wall full of 200 titles, there were maybe four or five that to me didn't speak to, just kind of a very lost, fallen, as Pope John Paul II once said, culture of death,
yeah,
kind of mentality. And so I think the point is that that's what's being manufactured. On the other hand, and maybe Batman is an exception to this, but I think when you look at the top grossing movies, things like The Incredibles or Horton Hears a Who do talk to the cardinal virtues in some way, of faith or hope or a love. And certainly Passion of the Christ was an interesting, enormous anomaly where I think when you lay it out that directly, the audience wants to consume stuff that I think is, you'd say, godly or moral. But the stuff that gets the attention and the publicity and the vast majority of the funding to get made is certainly of the opposing nature.
All right. John says that he thinks that the movies that are actually making money are the movies that are more morally coherent with Christianity. I'm not sure I agree with him on that. What do you think, Timothy?
I don't think so necessarily. I think that the producers of movies are going to find what sells, and if there's a moment when morality sells, then they're going to sell that. But at the same time, if nihilism sells, they're going to go for that. I don't think there's necessarily a trend in that direction that I see anyway.
Yeah. It seems to me, after The Passion of the Christ, you had a lot of religiously themed movies that were market-driven. People are saying, this movie made a lot of money. Let's try to find a way to do this again. But it seems when we look at the whole picture here, the mosaic, as Drew said a few moments ago, what you see is, yeah, I think you do see the culture of death. But you also see a group of people who can't be as nihilistic as they want to be. They can't do it because they're made in the image of God and they're forced to affirm some sense of goodness and some sense of life. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When you look around at those movie posters, Cineplex right down the street from you or in the city down from where you live, what's it telling you? What are those posters telling you about the kind of world that you're trying to teach and preach the gospel to? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, actually looking at pictures of Albert Mohler at the lake, pictures that he put up on his Facebook page. And looks like he's having a good time down there, relaxing in the sun. We're talking today about the movies, talking about summer films. I have with me in the studio Timothy Paul Jones, who is professor of leadership and church ministry here at Southern Seminary and who does a lot of thinking about pop culture and how pop culture brings up redemptive themes, either for them or against them. Timothy, I think one of the things that's interesting to me about looking at the kinds of movies that are coming out right now, you mentioned earlier that there are so many superhero movies right now. Obviously, the reason for that is because they make a lot of money. But the reason they make a lot of money is because a lot of people want to see them. Don't you think that we see in these movies a kind of a longing for a Messiah, an anointed one, to come and rescue us? Isn't it kind of a confession? We can't get ourselves out of this.
I think so. And what we find in each one of these is somebody even who seems very ordinary, sometimes even less than ordinary, and yet that person in some way becomes the one who saves everyone. And what a testimony this is to what is endemic to us in our nature, this longing for a Messiah, for someone, for this recognition that we are in need of salvation and our culture is in need of salvation. Because really these superheroes don't simply save a person or they save a culture of a city or something much larger than just one or two people. It is very much, I think, a confession of what God has placed within every human being, that eternity in our hearts.
Yeah, and I think it's, on the one hand, kind of a sign of hope. People are longing for a messianic figure. On the other side, it's kind of a message of deep despair, because you have people who will look to almost any kind of messianic figure. And so you have both Christ and Antichrist longings that are there in the human heart, exactly what the Scripture tells us. I think when you look around and you see the movies that are being shown right now, when you see the kinds of things that people are going to see, what you see are people who are saying to you, by making these movies and by flocking in to see these movies, they're actually interested in big themes of life and death and good and evil and judgment and redemption and salvation and the end. I just wonder if our churches are speaking with the kind of clarity and the kind of anointing that we're able to pull those people away from the Cineplex and say, hey, let's talk to you about a bigger story than this, a story that saves. It's good news. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.